If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. No, I'm not preaching on bread again this Sunday. We have left the bread. Some of you are sad about that. Although I had some interesting bread this week, it's gotten out that I like bread. And Caden brought me some pickle cheese sourdough. I had a hard time thanking her for it at first. It's like, thank you. Well, I tasted it. It was all right. But, you know, they're doing lots of interesting things with bread these days. Okay, I said I wasn't going to talk about bread. This morning, we're going to talk about food, but not bread in particular. If someone saw you chew out, cuss out someone, and some of you are like, was it me? No. If someone saw you be really ugly to someone, and they came to you and said, what is your problem? What do you think they would say if you said, oh, I must have eaten something bad this morning? They'd say, really? Something you ate caused you to act like that? Oh, yes, yes. Now, we do blame our sins and such on things that don't relate. We try to justify ourselves. We try to defend ourselves with things that don't relate. We're going to talk about where does sin come from. I want to ask you, does sin come from your stomach? Is it a stomach problem or is it a heart problem? Somebody already spoiled it over here. It's a heart problem, isn't it? But in Jesus' day and time, sometimes they would blame their uncleanness, their sinfulness on what they ate. Or the fact that they didn't wash their hands a certain way. And they would blame, they would look down on other people for what they ate and for how they washed dishes. It's in there. If you look in chapter 7, verses 1 through 13 from last week, there were some Pharisees, some religious leaders, who were mad at Jesus because his disciples weren't washing their hands before they eat. Now, I'm all for washing hands before you eat. I mean, that's a good practice. It's good for, you know, hygiene and everything else. But they were doing it in a ceremonial way also. And those who did not wash their hands, according to the Mishnah, the tradition of the elders, they were looked down upon because they did not wash their hands correctly, spiritually. And they also had rules, man-made rules, about washing cups and ladles and spoons and platters and things like that. And some people, like the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they would look down on people who didn't follow their man-made traditions. And Jesus took the occasion to teach where sin really comes from. They were focusing on external things. Did you wash your hands properly? Did you wash it according to the tradition of the elders? Are you eating a clean or unclean food? They were worried about that. They were looking at Jesus' disciples, trying to find something that they could get onto them for, because they wanted to take away from Jesus. They wanted to destroy the work of Jesus. And all they could come up with was, your disciples didn't wash their hands. Why don't your disciples wash their hands? Again, it wasn't because it wasn't a good practice, but it was because it was a religious tradition that they had developed. So they approached Jesus. How come your disciples don't wash their hands? They were worried about external things. They were worried about things outside of the heart. And so Jesus takes this occasion and he very clearly tells them that your sinfulness, my sinfulness, doesn't come from external things, but it actually comes from a sinful heart. And we all, before we meet Jesus, before we trust in Jesus, we all have a sinful, evil heart. We may want to blame it on other things, but Jesus makes it clear it comes from the heart. And so in verse 14, Jesus called the people to him and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." Now this was the Pharisees, the disciples, and other people who were just in the crowd, you know, just seeing what was going on. He says, "Hear me, all of you, there is nothing outside a person that going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person. Can you blame your stomach, or must you blame your head, your heart? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what it meant and what it means to us today. Lord, such passages can be confusing, yet they are so important. And I pray that somehow your word would speak to our hearts, and that my words, Lord, would help us all to understand, and that we would put that understanding into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question becomes, what makes a person sinful? So the gist of this passage is, what makes a person sinful? Where does a person be, how is a person defiled? Meaning, how do they do something to make themselves unclean before God? How do you do that? And we would say that that's sin. Sin is what separates us from God. When we disobey, either by doing something or not doing something that we should, that God's word tells us that we should or should not do, we sin against God and we sin against other people. So where does that sin come from? Is it something that we can blame outside of us, or is it something that comes from within us? That was the question. So what does not, I want to first say, what Jesus helps us to understand, what does not make a person sinful? He first addresses that. He says in verse 14, "Hear me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing," say that word with me, "nothing, nothing, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." So in chapter 7 and verse 5, in the passage that I preached on last Sunday, the question was about the washing of hands, of ceremonial cleanness. You know, can you sin against God? Can you make yourself unclean before God by not washing your hands ceremonially, properly? Now your mom may say, yes. Yes, you can. And, you know, I would agree with Mom. But the real answer is no. You cannot, you're not separated from God. You don't sin against God by not washing your hands according to the ceremonial traditions. It's still a great practice. I want to encourage all of you to start washing your hands. If you're not, if you become lax in your hand washing, if you've never started that tradition, I think you should. You know, you go into a restaurant, go to some of your favorite restaurant, and they have this sobering sign in the restroom. It says, "All employees must wash hands." And you're like, are you kidding me? Of course they need to wash their hands. I hope they're washing their hands, don't you? And I'm sad that they have to have a sign to remind them that they need to wash their hands. So what makes a person sinful? It's not a lack of ceremonial uncleanness. It's not about how you wash dishes. It's not about how you wash hands. It's not about ceremonial cleanliness. Now, I know most of us don't do ceremonial cleaning of dishes and pots. You know, we squirt a little duck wash, you know, that Dawn, isn't it, the stuff they clean ducks with? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And we all know that Dawn dishwashing, it's Dawn, right? Dawn dishwashing is the soap that they wash ducks with. It also is good for washing dishes, I've come to understand. I thought it was just about ducks, baby ducks. Where am I going with this? I really should stick to the text. Ceremonial dishwashing. Okay, so it's not about cleanliness. It's not about washing things, keeping them clean. It's not washing your hands before you eat that make you right with God or not right with God. It's not something external. And chapter 7, verse 5 tells us that the way Jesus answers them helps us to understand it's definitely not about following a man-made tradition. The second part I want you to see that it's not food that makes you unclean. It's not food that makes you unclean. In the Old Testament, there is definitely foods that were clean and unclean. There was reasons for that and wisdom to that. God's laws and commands are good and for our instruction. But Jesus here tells us that food in and of itself does not make you sinful. It doesn't make you separated from God. People don't go to spend eternity in hell because of food. It's not an external thing. Look, it says in verse 15, nothing outside a person can defile him. Nothing external makes you sinful or not right with God. As much as we would want to blame other things and not confess our own sinful heart, it's not external things. So, what does make a person sinful? I'm glad you asked. In fact, in chapter 7, beginning in verse 20, Jesus makes it absolutely clear what does make us sinful before God. He says, it's not external, but it's internal, and it is evil thoughts. He says, look at verse 21, from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. So they don't come from external things, but they come from the internal parts of us. As much as we'd like to blame other things for who we are and what we do, it's our hearts. Now, you say, well, my heart is just a blood pumper. And you're right. Back in that day, and even today, we talk about hearts. It's actually our head, right? They believe that thoughts and emotion came from the literal heart and gut. Your emotions, they believe that your emotions came from your digestive system. And sometimes it may feel that way. Because if you're upset, a lot of times you have an upset stomach, right? So whenever they would say heart, we mean mind. And we say the same thing. You know, bless your heart. Is it really your heart that they're worried about? No, it's the way you're thinking, isn't it? You know, in the South, when they say bless your heart, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, probably. So evil thoughts come from a sinful heart. What makes a person sinful? It is evil thoughts, Jesus said. What comes out of a person from within, verse 21, from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. And so Jesus clarified this for us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. And I think that'll be on the screen. Is it going to make the screen? Okay. So Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is correcting their misunderstanding of the Old Testament. He said, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. In this passage, he is letting us know it's not just murdering that's wrong. It is hating your brother. It is being angry with your brother. That's where sin comes from. It comes from an angry heart. It comes from a hateful heart that would lead you to murder. And so Jesus helps understand that it's not just the act of murder, but it is hating and being angry with your brother to begin with. So someone might say, well, I didn't kill him, I just thought about it. Now, you've all thought about it, right? I've heard some of you say, I just think I'm going to kill him, you know. Carol, I think I've heard Carol say stuff like that. I fear for JW. I hope he... Now I fear for myself, but I'm just kidding. She's only joking, I think. But some would say, you know, I didn't do anything. I just thought about it. But Jesus helps us understand that just thinking about it is a sin. It's where defilement comes from. Just meditating on it, thinking about it, being obsessed with it, that is sinful. And then, of course, in another example of sinful behaviors is Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28. Here he's talking about the thinking again. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So it's not whether you have gone through with what you were thinking, but it's meditating on it, thinking about it, lusting in your heart, in your mind. That too is sinful. And so thoughts in themselves can be sinful. And what those thoughts lead to, the behaviors and actions and attitudes, that can be sinful as well. We can't just say, well, I didn't do it, I just thought about it. A lot. It's the thoughts and the behaviors. Jesus said in verse 21, from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. So evil thoughts are sinful, they defile. And then sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. And he concludes in verse 23, all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Sinful thoughts often lead to sinful behaviors. And those are the things that cause us to be sinful and sinful before God. Those are the things that separate us from God. So I want to ask you in closing, your sin or my sin, is it a stomach problem? Is it a hand-washing issue? Or is it a heart problem? I'm finishing early. Y'all ought to be eager. It's a heart problem. When Jesus comes to live inside of us, when we believe in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. Amen? And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is He begins to transform and sanctify our sinful hearts so that we can do what is right and what is good. So that we will love the commands of God. We will see the wisdom in the laws of God, where we can see that following Jesus is the only way to live. He transforms hearts and He transforms minds. We have sinful hearts before we meet Jesus. And one of the things that He does is He transforms our hearts and minds. And He conforms our hearts and minds to think like Him and to act as He would want us to. You know, repentance, when you hear about how is a person saved, it's repent and believe, right? You remember, repentance is changing your mind about sin. It means you are recognizing sin and you are turning away from sin. And that is doing battle with that sinful heart. We all have sinful hearts, and Jesus comes to forgive us and to transform our sinful hearts. That's good news. That's good news. I needed a new heart. Sure, I sinned. You know, I did. I was a teenager. I sinned. But was it because I was a teenager and I didn't wash my hands? Or I hated doing dishes? No, it's because I had a sinful heart. And when I was saved at the age of 13, I remember a transformation taking place. For me, it was quite noticeable. For others, it may not be quite so noticeable. But I remember trusting Jesus as my Savior and Lord one night, and the next day going to school, even as a teenager, and having a whole different outlook. I had a new heart. God had been working on my heart. Even overnight, God had begun transforming my heart. And He continues to transform my heart today. I'm certainly not perfect, and I struggle with the same things that you struggle with. But because of Jesus, I can have victory over sin. I can choose to love God and to honor God and to serve God rather than myself. It's because Jesus helps us deal with our heart problem that we can be different. So if you think, I really need to be a better person, so I'm going to start going to church. That's a good thing. I like that. I believe everybody should do that. I am going to start going to Sunday school. Hey, that's good. Good on you. I'm even going to put something in the offering box. Woohoo! Wow, really? Yeah, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to go every Sunday. And I'm even going to take the little old lady down the street with me. That's great. But those are external things. You can do good things, but still have a heart that is evil, that is sinful, that is separated from God. It's not about external things. It's about your heart. It's about your mind that leads you, that makes you sinful, that makes you sinful and in need of a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He's the only Savior. He's the only one that can deal with your sinful heart. I'm so glad He has worked on my sinful heart. He must really be strong because He's been wrestling mine for all these years, and He's been wrestling all of yours for all these years, and He's been wrestling with a lot of other hearts all these years. Listen, don't blame external things for your sinfulness, your separation from God. Blame your sinful heart and ask God to forgive you and to give you a new heart and to constantly help you grow and mature in a heart that honors Him. Amen? All right. Finished on time today. How about that?